And now let's look in the book of Obadiah. The word Obadiah itself means a worshiper of Jehovah. There were seven men in the Old Testament by this name, and Obadiah here is the last one, prophet. We don't know when this book was written. The date is completely unknown. Some people try to set dates of this, but I think that they're wrong. I simply say that I don't know when it was written. But they use verse 10 for a setter of dates. We might just kind of glance at it. Talk about the violence of Edom against brother Jacob. And they say that it was written at the time, and we'll study it, we'll look at this in detail later on, but it was studied at the time, it was written at the time when of captivity. And when they came down to take Judah into captivity, then Edom came in and took of the spoils, and we'll read this later. And they say, well, this was the time. But this can't be true, because many years before this, in Amos chapter 1, Amos wrote a similar thought in 1 verse 11 and 12. Thus saith the Lord, for three transgressions of Edom, and for four will I not turn away the punishment thereof, because he did pursue his brother. See, this was several hundred years before that they went into captivity, and the Edomites went up and gained of what the enemy had done in the land. So Amos said the same thing, and we don't try to date Amos by this kind of language. So why would we try to date Obadiah by the same thought? Anyway, I don't know when it was, and I don't think we should speculate on it. I don't think this is important. If it was, God would tell us. So let's look at verse 1, the vision of Obadiah. So we establish a fact now that this is a vision. And right away, God gets down to business. I mean, that's all he's got to say. It's a vision. Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom. So all of this vision is concerning Edom. Edom is the same as we had it before. Edom is of Ishmael, I mean, is Esau. Edom is of Esau. His name was changed to Edom. And as I said in Amos, that it was from red, rough, ruddy, likened to Adam. One of these were Israel's enemies, a whole 12 tribe. They were always Israel's enemy. Even from before they were born, Jacob and Esau were fighting even in the mother's womb, even in Rebekah's womb. And they've always been enemies. And even today, the Jordan people are still enemies of Jacob. And when Christ was on the earth, Herod, King Herod, was an Edomite. And he was an enemy of the people of God, even at that time. And so the Edomites must be judged. Edom was a mountainous region just southeast of the Dead Sea. The capital of Edom was, at this time, was a city called Selah. And today, that same city still exists, only now it's named Petra, which means a rock. It's a very rocky area, sat high on a plateau, and it would be almost impossible to conquer. The enemy would have to climb the steep, rocky area to get to the city. And they built it there on purpose, and they were proud of the fact that this was an inconquerable city. And God said, I'm going to judge it. I'm going to judge all that Esau is. The word Edom here is, I think, seven times in the book of Obadiah. Is called Esau. And Esau is a picture of the flesh. In Genesis 25, Esau was called a cunning hunter. And even though they were kin to Israel, they fought constantly. And in the ninth chapter of Romans, God said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. I think that's verse 13. Is that right, Craig? Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, it wasn't the person of Esau. It's what Esau was. It's what Esau stood for. He stands for the flesh, and God hates the flesh. He hates those that are enemies of his purpose and his people. So he says definitely that he doesn't like them. So he's going to judge them. Now, here the rest of this shows how he's going to bring judgment upon them. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Now, this was well known of what God was going to do. Let's look in the 49th chapter of Jeremiah, and the first verses throws some light on this. Read the first, let's drop on down to the 14th verse. He almost quotes. In fact, a lot of commentaries think that Jeremiah quoted from Obadiah. And notice in verse 14, I have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador or a messenger is sent unto the heathen, saying, gather ye together and come against her and rise up to battle. For lo, I will make thee small among the heathen and despised among the men. Well, who is he talking about? Let's drop down to verse 10. But I have made Esau bare. I have uncovered her secret place, and he shall not be able to hide himself. His seed is spoiled, and his brethren, and his neighbor, and he is not. And so God made sure that everything was known and was scattered among the nations of what he was going to do. And he says, rise, and let us rise against her in battle. Let us go down and perform the work of the Lord. Now, God uses nations and people to do his work. And the problem with Edom was, again in verse 10, their attitude against God's things, against God's people. So this is going to be. Let's look at verse 2. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Now, Edom was not always small. Edom was a great nation. But God was going to bring them down and make them small among the other heathens, and make them despised and hated. And notice he puts this in the past tense as though he'd already done it. But whether he is just counting the things that are not as though they are, because many times in God's word, he puts things in past tense even before he does it. This doesn't necessarily mean that. Then in verse 3, here is the real problem. The pride of the heart. Pride is a hard thing. And here was their pride, was the fact that they dwelt among in the cliffs of the rock, and they couldn't be brought down. The nations couldn't conquer them. When people get so lofty and lifted up in pride, then there's going to be a coming down. In the 11th Proverbs, there are several scriptures in the Proverbs concerning how God deals with the proud and the essence of proud people. In Proverbs 11, I think it's verse, let me find here, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Notice how it's identified with shame, pride is. But people that aren't proud are wise. But we find that the flesh is proud. Even today, we see the flesh proud. And so it brings shame upon the people. Then in the 13th chapter of Proverbs and verse 10. Notice what it does. Only by pride cometh contention. So here we identify pride with contention. And then in the 28th chapter of Proverbs, read that to you. I turn these pages. Well, I still haven't got them separated. The 28th chapter and verse 23. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. So strife, contention, all of these things that we read have to do with being proud. And this is what the flesh is. So as God is going to judge Edom for their attitude, so is he going to judge flesh our flesh, anybody's flesh, is going to be the judge. The church was warned about pride in Romans 12, and it says that a man should not think of himself above what he ought to think. So don't lift ourselves up in pride and think that we're something when we're nothing. A person that does this is a fool. He's a foolish person. He walks in the flesh. There's a verse that comes to my mind in the second chapter of 1 John. See if I can find that here. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And God is going to judge all of these things and bring them down. These Edomites thought they were lift up high, that they were in the cliff to the rock, and who shall bring me down to the ground? They were exalted themselves. Verse 4, though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, soaring up high above everybody else, and though thou set thy nest among the stars, you can't get much higher than that. How big people think they are. Thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. Now this pride is the same thing that brought Lucifer down. It's the same attitude that the Antichrist will have. In 2 Thessalonians 2, he says, I will exalt myself above all that is called God. I'm going to raise myself up. So you see, this attitude is the attitude of the enemy, the attitude of Satan. And he wants to soar himself high. And we see many people like that, of the flesh, especially religious people. Well, God is going to judge all of this. Verse 5, if thieves come to thee and robbers by night, this is how you're cut off. So he's using this as an example of how the flesh is to be cut off. If thieves come in and robbers by night, would they not have stolen until they had enough? In other words, when they got their arms full, they'll leave. They won't take everything. They'll leave some. And if the grape gatherers come to thee, would they not leave some grapes? When they leave some for gleaning? Of course they would. That's the answer to those two questions. Well, this is not so concerning you. How are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought out? I'm going to go to the very depths. There won't be anything left of Esau. I'm not going to be as the thief that will leave some, or as the grape gatherers that will leave some grape. And we read in Jeremiah 49:10 that God will make Esau bare, that God will uncover him to nakedness and expose all the works of the flesh. They thought they couldn't be seen, but God saw. And he's going to search all these things out, right to the depths of the crevices. And all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even unto the border. Now there will be some that will be in harmony with Esau. I'm not too sure who these will be. Probably Moab and Ammon are those that are neighbors of Edom. But they'll find that nobody can be trusted. None of these nations of the confederacy will be trusted. And we read that the men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. I think of the flesh trusting the flesh. And God tells us to put no confidence in the arm of flesh. Philippians 3, I think it is. Don't put confidence. Flesh will fail. My flesh will fail you. I don't want to fail you because I don't want to walk in the flesh. But believe me, if I walk in the flesh, my flesh will fail you. Don't trust me. You just trust God. He's the only one that you can ever trust. Flesh is deceiving and prevail against itself. And they that eat bread have laid a wound under thee. In other words, they sit at your table and eat your bread and stick a knife in your back at the same time. How untrustworthy people are. There is none understanding in him. People go to the flesh for counseling. They go to psychologists and psychiatrists that have as many problems as the people that go to them. They don't understand it. Now we have another question here. Verse 8. Shall I not in the day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau? If God took all the wise out and removed all those that understood, there wouldn't be very much left, would there? Wouldn't be much but a bunch of ignoramuses left. And thou mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed. You're going to look over this and see. Now, Teman was another town. It was an old town. Teman was named way back in Genesis 36. Esau's sons was named Teman. I think it's verse 10 of Genesis 11 of Genesis 36. And we also read in Job 2, verse 11, that Eliphaz was a Temanite, which was one of Job's friends, as we call him. But these are people that are mighty, and they'll stand back at awe. And notice what it says, they'll be dismayed to the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Here this incomparable place is going to fall. Why? Because God is going to bring it down. Maybe man can't, but God can. Verse 10, why? For the violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee. God is going to judge them for their attitude concerning a brother, a twin brother, anyway. And God sent some, Roberta, look up Deuteronomy 23:7, I believe it is. And God gave Israel some definite orders concerning their hatred to the Edomites. So God says, don't you hate the Edomites or the Egyptians, and here's the reason why. But the Edomites, he says, the reason you don't hate them is because they're your brother. And they should have a brotherly attitude. But tell me, can the flesh really have this kind of attitude even today? I don't think so. And this is the turn on one another. And this is going to bring shame. And they'll be cut off. There must be a cutting off of the flesh. Sin has to be judged. God has to be just. And he cannot just ignore sin. It must be judged. In Romans 3, we read that he had to be just in order to justify the ungodly. And he had to plan a plan in which he could bring justification. People who reject this plan, then they're going to have to bear their own judgment. And so will Edom. Verse 11, in the day that thou stoodest on the other side, you see, not on Israel's side, but the enemies of Israel's side. In the day that the strangers carried away captivity his force, and foreigners entered into the gates of Jerusalem, we're talking about, and cast lots upon Jerusalem, even thou wast as one of those. If we were to study 2 Chronicles 24, we find in verse 20 that the prophet, well, maybe we ought to go over there. I think we should take the time. In 2 Chronicles 24, you might find it here. You have it, Greg. Read verse 20. So this prophet, Zechariah, prophesied that. And to make a long story short, they stoned him to death because of his prophecy. And then in verse 23, just right after that, we read, and it came to pass at the end of the year that the host of Syria came down. And God must judge these things, I say. Well, when Syrians came down, the Edomites should have helped their brother, but they didn't. They joined themselves with their enemy. And when the foreigners entered the gates and they cast lots upon Jerusalem, there are the Edomites right in there getting their share of it. Verse 12, but thou shouldest not have looked on the day of thy brother in the day that he became a stranger or taken into captivity, neither shouldest thou have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction, neither shouldest thou have spoken proudly in the day of distress. So here's three accusations, three indictments against them. And we have the same indictments today against the nations, against the flesh that will go against God's people, even in prophecy. And the people who rejoice over the calamities of Judah is going to be judged for this and speak proudly against those things that come upon her. Verse 13, thou shouldest not have entered into the gates of thy people in the day of their calamity. Yea, thou shouldest not have looked on their affliction in the day of their calamity, nor have laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. And when the tribulation, when God is judging Israel in their tribulation, those that stand against them are going to be judged more harshly than Israel is to be judged. Verse 14, neither should thou have stood in a crossway or crossroads to cut off those of his that did escape. Neither shouldest thou have delivered up those of his that did remain in the day of his distress. For the day of the Lord is near upon the heathen, for judgment, we might say. And thou, as thou hast done, it shall be done unto you. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head. What you've done to Israel, the same thing is going to happen to you. What goes around comes around, and you're going to experience it in your own life. For ye have drunken upon my holy mountain, so shall all the heathens drink on your mountain continually. Only difference, they're going to swallow you down. Another rendering of this is they're going to eat you down. They're going to gulp you down. Much worse than they did to Jacob. And they shall be as those that had not been. Nobody before them has ever done this bad. Then verse 17, we have a conjunction. But, and we might divide this, the first 14 verses is the sin, 15 and 16 is the judgment upon Edom, and then the blessings upon those that Edom despitefully used and hated. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Now, Edomites, this is what you did to God's people. This is what I'm going to do for my people. I'm going to do something on this holy Mount of Zion, and I'm going to deliver, and I'm going to bring holiness, and the house of Jacob is going to possess all the things that's been taken away from. They're going to possess all the possessions of the heathens. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire. That's interesting, isn't it? House of Jacob shall be a fire, a flaming fire. The house of Joseph a flame. So we have now a switch on the whole thing. As God used the heathen to bring fire upon his people for judgment, now he's using his people to bring the fire upon the heathen for judgment. And the house of Esau are going to burn like stubble. And they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau. All Esau will be cut off. All the flesh, all that which God hates of Romans 9 will be cut off. How do we know it? The Lord has spoken it. That's how we know it. And they of the south shall possess the mount of Esau, and they of the plain of the Philistines, and they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. God's people are going to be blessed. And the captivity of this host of the children of Israel shall possess that of the Canaanites, even unto Zarephath, Ephrathah, and the captivity of Jerusalem, which is in Sepharad, shall possess the cities of the south. So God is going to give all of this land, all of these things, to his people. And savers shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. Notice where Esau is going to be judged from the Mount of Zion. The word saver could be translated judges there. And it's all going to be given over to somebody else. Then we read the last phrase of this, and the kingdom shall be the Lord. This is when he'll set up his kingdom on the earth to rule over all things. Israel will be the headquarters. Israel will be the center of God's activities. Christ shall be reigning as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The fulfillment of the Davidic prophecy will be complete this time to the uttermost. All right, that finishes Obadiah.